Four more days meant 8 days since they'd had sex, and Rodney was seriously starting to wonder if it was over, if Shepard was cured or close enough, whatever he'd said about his new addictions. He wasn't exactly avoiding Rodney. They'd had breakfast together one day and dinner the next, and he dutifully came to test the puddle jumper drive when Rodney was finally ready for him. "So," Shepard said, swiveling around in the pilot's chair, "when do I get to take her out for a test run?" Oh, right. That was next. Only Rodney really, really didn't want Shepard to be the one testing it, which was irrational, because he trusted the design. He just didn't trust Shepard not to do something stupid and risk his fool neck out there. And maybe that was irrational, because there was no emergency, no one to save, no one to sacrifice for, but just the thought of it made Rodney's gut go cold. He'd always hated Shepard's heroics, and now it was much worse. Much, much worse. And he didn't even need to think to know why, even if it was hopeless, even if Shepard was cured and there was nothing more between them. Rodney stalled. "Well, we weren't actually planning. I mean, obviously it's ready, since it checked out perfectly for both of us, but..." "Hey," Shepard said, with a little frown between his eyebrows, "there's no time like the present, and nothing more you can twiddle with without test data, right?" "Okay, okay," Rodney said. "Take it up. Just don't break anything, okay?" "I won't harm a filament on its head. So how far can I jump? Do you want me to try the nearest gate?" "What is that, M3D847? M3D084, Rodney said. "And no, you can't jump that far. This is just a test flight. I don't want you to take it outside the Lantean solar system. Keep an eye on the stability for the hyperspace window, and stay in radio contact." "You got it," Shepard said with a grin. "Now are you going to get out of the jumper, or are you coming with me?" Rodney swallowed. He wanted to go with Shepard, crazy as that was. And Shepard had offered like it was the most natural thing in the world. Like he actually wanted to spend a few hours cooped up in a puddle jumper together. Like they hadn't been kind of, sort of, almost avoiding each other for the past 4 days. Shepard frowned again. "Rodney?" "Leaving," Rodney said, "because someone had to monitor the test flight from the ground. Look, just don't do anything idiotic, okay?" Shepard's eyes were teasing. "Thanks for the vote of confidence." "Anytime," Rodney said, but it didn't come out nearly as sarcastic as he'd intended. He forced himself to turn and make his way out the back hatch. The puddle jumper lifted before he was even out of the bay, and by the time he was in the control room, it was through the roof and heading out of the atmosphere. Rodney tracked it on screen, one eye on the blip that indicated where the jumper was, and one eye on the numerical sensor readouts, which really didn't tell him much of anything. "Rodney, you with me?" Shepard's voice said from the radio. "Yes, I'm here." "Damn it, this had better work." "All right, here it goes then. Opening hyperspace window in 10, 9, 8. "What's the stability?" Rodney demanded. 0.023%. "We are all systems go. 3, 2, 1. Catch you on the other side." And the display showed a hyperspace window opening right in front of the jumper. Rodney barely had time to see it before the jumper went through and both winked out on the display. He counted, heart in his mouth, and it wasn't... No, there it was, halfway across the system, and all the numbers looked good. Subspace sensors were instantaneous, but radio wasn't. He'd have to fix that, because theoretically it ought to be possible to route communications through subspace as well. Rodney waited 4 long minutes and heard, "Cool," on his radio, which was just so Shepard that he wanted to... Yeah. "Everything looks good," Shepard was saying on the radio. "Initiating second jump in 8 minutes, unless you tell me otherwise." The jumper hadn't moved, which meant Shepard was being good and waiting for the radio signal back. "Go ahead," Rodney said, "but keep your eye on stability." So Shepard jumped, and jumped again, and made it all the way to M3D084 and back with Rodney's permission. And if Rodney's heart was in his mouth the whole time, well, that was his problem. Because it worked. Shepard was fine, and it really, amazingly, astonishingly worked. By the time Shepard brought the jumper back down through the bay roof, Rodney was relieved and dazed and ecstatic and right there, waiting for Shepard to open the hatch. "Oh my God," he said to Shepard's bright, bright grin. "It worked!" Shepard grabbed him by the shoulders with his smile so wide that his teeth were showing. "Coolest thing ever, Rodney. Seriously. I can't believe it," Rodney said. "Carter said it couldn't be done without an Aquita, and I proved her wrong. I totally proved her wrong." "You did," Shepard said. "You really did." And Rodney had his share of willpower, but there was only so much temptation a man could take. Shepard's hands were still on his shoulders, and his eyes were dancing in his mouth. His mouth. His mouth was just begging to be kissed. So Rodney did. He was half expecting Shepard to push him away, but Shepard just whimpered and tilted his head and opened his mouth and kissed back, kissed back like he was drowning and never wanted to find the surface. Rodney slid one hand around Shepard's neck and pulled him closer. Shepard wanted this. He really wanted it. Shepard was, oh God, rock hard down there, and Rodney wanted to sink to his knees and blow him right there in the back of the puddle jumper. Right there in the jumper, with the hatch open, where anyone could see them, and chit, chit, Shepard was straight. Shepard was addicted to sex, and Rodney was using him, and if they got caught, it was Shepard's career on the line, and damn it, none of this was fair. Jesus, Rodney said, and tore his mouth away. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Shepard just stood there, panting and staring at him. Like, so much blood was in his cock, there was none left for his brain, and he muttered, crap, and looked away. Can we just pretend that didn't happen? Rodney said desperately. Maybe just rewind the conversation back to the part about the hyperdrive being the coolest thing ever? I like that part. Shepard's head snapped back around, and he looked, thank God, relieved. It is the coolest thing ever, he said. Do you have any idea how many things we can use this for? No more sitting around waiting for the Daedalus when we need a rescue, and the potential for intelligence gathering alone. Rodney, that was Radic, just outside the hatch. It worked! Shepard stepped away from him, smoothly, and Rodney turned to face Radic, hoping the bulge in his pants wasn't too obvious. But Radic never even glanced down. He was too busy making a beeline for the hyperdrive readout and oohing and aahing over the results. Rodney barely heard him. All he could think was of Shepard, who had crossed his arms over his chest and slipped back toward the hatch. He was going to leave, just like that, and maybe Rodney didn't have anything to say to him, but damn it, Shepard was gone. Rodney turned back to Radic and forced himself to listen, but mostly what he was hearing in his head was coolest thing ever, over and over again in Shepard's voice, warm and happy and impressed. So maybe things weren't so bad between them after all.